One of the great gifts about language is that words can have various meanings. And one of the things we'll see in a minute is this finds particular expression in the book of Revelation. But before we get to the book of Revelation, let me tell you this pun, which is just another way in which we can play with words. So a piece of string walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "Give me a cold one." And the bartender points up to the wall where there is a piece of string with a line through it. And the bartender says, "Sorry, we don't serve your kind here." So the piece of string goes outside, gets all tangled up in tatters. He rolls around some, and then he comes back in. And the bartender says to him again, "Didn't I tell you that we don't serve strings?" To which the string responded, "I'm afraid not." If you get the joke, right? He's now afraid not. He's not a piece of string. So it's a play on words. And I want to use that as a way into the book of Revelation, because in the book of Revelation, there is an amazing play of words. St. John, we are told, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, when the book of Revelation, as we now read it, is opened before him. And when we think of the Lord's day, what do we think of? We think of Sunday, right? It's the Lord's day. It's the day of the resurrection. And so he is in the Spirit on Sunday. But here's where there is a play on words. For you see, in the Bible, the day of the Lord or the Lord's day can also be understood as a day of judgment. And let me explain this to you by illustrating it with this passage from the Old Testament book. I'm sure you know it off by heart. It's the prophet Zephaniah. Don't worry, I don't know it very well either. But in the book of Zephaniah, we have these words. "The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness." So have you ever tried to read through the book of Revelation? It's kind of like that, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of darkness in that book. There's a lot going on there that you think, what in hell has gotten loose here? But the point is this. St. John wants us to understand two things. That on the Lord's day, which is Sunday, the revelation that he has gives him insight into what is going on in the world. So check this out, and it's an amazing thing when you look at the structure of the book of Revelation. At one level, the book of Revelation is the unfolding of the Mass. Some of you might know of the name Scott Hahn. Scott Hahn, who was a Presbyterian and became a Catholic and is now one of the greatest biblical scholars that we have in the English-speaking world. And as a doctoral student, he was doing a doctorate on the book of Revelation. And this was before he was a Catholic. And so on this one day, he's somewhere, I think, in Wisconsin, and he's at the university, and Mass is being held in the basement of the student center. And I don't think he'd ever been to a Mass before. And he goes and he sits in the back row of this church that is full at noon on a Tuesday. And he's been studying the book of Revelation, like, intensely. And what he discovered as the Mass unfolded before him, he said, "This is what I've been studying for years. It's the book of Revelation." So let me just briefly summarize the structure of this amazing book. Chapter 1, John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he sees the glorified Jesus Christ and the seven spirits who represent the seven churches and their lampstands. And then in chapters 2 and 3, we have seven letters to seven churches. And in each one of these letters, there is a call to repentance. And then in chapters 4 and 5, particularly in chapter 5, and then into chapter 6, we're told that there are these seven seals that interpret history. And John asks, who can open these seals? And he's told, look to this one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But then he says, I looked and what I saw wasn't a lion, I saw one like a lamb. And 29 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb of God. And he's told this, the Lamb He's the one who can open the seven seals. And then as we move into the rest of the book, what you see and recognize is the celebration of the Mass. You have priests who are celibate at an altar with incense, candles. It's everywhere present. So what the structure of the book of Revelation is doing is this. We move from kind of the introduction, which is like our opening song. That's Revelation chapter 1. And then Revelation 2 and 3, these letters that call to repentance. That's like the confetti in the Mass. And then from there, the opening of the seven seals. That's the proclamation of the Word of God as it's then interpreted in the homily. And then from there, we move into the Eucharistic liturgy. And the book of Revelation is moving to its climax, as we heard a few minutes ago in chapter 22, where there will be no temple, there will be no sun, there will be no moon, because God will be all in all. But you know what? You and I aren't ready for that kind of glory yet. That would completely bowl us over. But we are ready for the glory of Jesus, elevated eucharistically, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So this is what John is doing. He's wanting us to see that on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, the Mass is being celebrated. But also on the Day of the Lord, and this is where, as you read through the book of Revelation, all hell is breaking loose. There is a particular way in which there is a kind of judgment. Now, here's the thing. When you read the book of Revelation, don't read it linearly, in a linear way, that it's sort of progressing from one chapter to the next to the next. No, it's sort of like a multi-layer archaeological dig. And one layer is on top of another, is on top of another, is on top of another. And this is what John, writing this book, we believe, sometime in the late 60s of the first century, was articulating. That something of great climactic significance is about to happen. It was the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD, which was understood by the Jewish people as a particular day of the Lord. And then we can see how through history, and particularly in the 20th century, there hasn't been a century in the history of the world that has been more bloody. There hasn't been a century in the world that has seen more violence, more death, more horror, something that is kind of like the book of Revelation. But this is what St. John wants you and me to understand. That we continue to live in the world where there are various ways in which judgment is happening and ways in which evil is unleashing its power. But the church is always confident that in the midst of hell breaking loose, heaven is touching down to earth in the Mass. And here's the beautiful point for us as Christians, and particularly as Catholic Christians, that we understand something that is of fundamental importance, that the glory of God that we see here anticipates the glory of God that Revelation chapter 22 speaks of. Let me just read to you again part of that amazing text. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light. And its lamp is the Lamb. Now, this is poetry, right? We can't fully understand this language, but what it understands is the following, that the trajectory of history is going somewhere when the earth will be full of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. This is fundamental to our Catholic understanding. You know, it's not just about us dying and going to heaven, although that is of fundamental importance. What is even more important is God is going to come again in the person of Jesus Christ. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. And you know what will happen at that time? The book of Revelation puts it this way. The sea will be no more. Now, in the book of Revelation, the sea is where all those slimy creatures come from that are evil. There will be no more evil. But God will be all in all. There is nothing more important than that the last book of the Bible, the 73rd book, is the book of Revelation. And for us as Catholic Christians to celebrate that it sees so clearly the centrality of the Mass, this rite that has been celebrated for 2,000 years. There's nothing people do on the weekend, even today, more than come to Mass. More people go to Mass than go to football games or soccer games or baseball games because of what the Mass is. And as we understand this reality, then we can hear Jesus say to us in this evening's gospel, "Those who love me will keep my word. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them, and we will make our home." Now, this is John, right? John, who uses the word tabernacle or dwell. "We will dwell among you." Where's our tabernacle? It's right over there. But you, me, we are also tabernacles. The dwelling of God is to be within you and me. And he is, because we receive Jesus in the sacrament of his body. But it's interesting. Jesus says one other thing in that passage from Revelation. "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me." So that's the whole point of life in this world. There are two ways in which people can live. Either listening to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I want my life to be a tabernacle where you are dwelling within me." Or we say, "No, I reject you. I reject your word and all that you stand for. And there is no place for you in my heart." And it's these two realities that are at play in the book of Revelation. The Mass, those who invite Jesus into the heart. All of the evil that we see unfolding in this book is the reality of those who have rejected Jesus. And it's interesting. You know the mark of the beast, the 666? Do you know what that refers to? It's the name Nero when it's spelt in Hebrew. That each letter in Hebrew has a numeric value. And if you add up the name Caesar Nero in Hebrew, it equals 666. And so what St. John wants us to understand is that in a world like this, there are always those powers in the world that, like Nero, are demonic. And they want to control and absorb and manipulate. But what Jesus says to you and me is this: "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." So how does the world look for peace? It looks for peace in the absence of conflict. The church discovers peace in the midst of conflict. That is what the book of Revelation is all about. And it's that peace with which Jesus concludes today's gospel, where he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Beloved, it is only if you allow your imagination to be conformed to the book of Revelation that you can live in this world and say, "I am not afraid not, but I am one who is learning day by day to trust in Jesus. And I realize that in the week, there's nothing more important than I can do than to come to Mass. Because the Mass is heaven come down to earth now, so that one day we will go to heaven, and then ultimately there will be a new heaven, a new earth, because God will be all in all." This is our Easter faith. This is what it means to be a Roman Catholic.